You are not in your usual location.
No kidding. Really? Wow. Sherlock Holmes.
Where are you?
I'm in San Juan. That's why okay. I said I had to take a 6:30 a.m. flight to get home.
I said, you didn't say to get home. Oh, I thought you were leaving home to go somewhere.
No. I need the flight to get home.
Gotcha. You're sideways.
Okay.
I'm okay with you sideways. Like,
you know, here's the thing. Over here, I'm not sideways. Yet you are.
Okay. I'm sideways. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, why the hell? Well, I'm trying this for the first time on the iPad.
Oh, okay. You're using the app? Okay. You're right side up now.
Okay. Oh, I guess this doesn't rotate. Okay. So wait, what the fuck I do? What is grid, beaker, slider? I don't know what any of these things do. Anyway.
Okay. Good.
Well, it's just that I was trying to move the camera because the thing is, that fixes that. There you go. That's better. It's not, I'm looking at the wrong place.
You're all good. Shall we go?
We need to go because I have to, yeah.
Sleep! Sleep is good! Okay, here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Saturday, August 31st, 2024. It's just after zero UTC. I'm Sam Minter and Yvonne Boe is here. Hello, Yvonne.
I am here. Hello.
You sound so enthused.
Well, I got sick this week.
I am finally over my COVID, by the way. I tested negative starting Wednesday night, and so my symptoms had abated a few days before that. So
I had a very stressful work week, which unfortunately I'm really frustrated because I managed to accomplish I'm grossly exaggerated to say nothing. I did move things forward, but I wanted to put I'm in sales. I wanted to move them to completion. Right. Unfortunately, completion did not happen. Did I get advances? Yes, I got some significant advances, but some of that stuff was hindered by the fact that, I don't know, on Tuesday night, I'd gone out to dinner and hung out with some friends, actually celebrating the fact that one of my coworkers actually closed some of their first deals.
Okay, good.
It's a new employee and they've been here a few months and we had a little bit of wine. I had nothing too much. Okay. We ate whatever, but nothing too much. 3 a.m. I feel my intestines are acting like when I get sick or food poisoned.
They're not happy at all.
No. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, and so anyway, the next day I have some important meetings I need to try to go to. Okay. And I'm like, look, I gotta buck this up. It doesn't fucking matter. I can't. And so I woke up.
You tried to push through it anyway.
No, I did, but listen, I did. Okay. All right. Look, okay, I woke up through it. No, I got up. I felt like I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? And I wasn't really sure what was going on yet still. Okay. But I felt just completely destroyed. I just felt just what the hell? And I get to the office and then we go to this thing. And then, you know, one thing is that at some point I realized that we got there and I had been able to explain to a couple of people that we're going to go to the meeting, what the purpose of it was. And we found out that, anyway, the guy that we wanted to talk to didn't want to receive that many people at once. So they said, look, I told him, look, I feel, take me back to the office. I can't. You said, look, I got it. Listen, we got it. Just, you know, these people aren't even they're not on my same team. They're on a different team, but we were having stuff that dealt with the same organization. And so this guy was just, look, I'll help you out. Okay. All right. Because I know what I got to do. I don't need to sell you. I right now it's just a process thing. You just need to get some approvals through some organization. And I'm just like, so he drove me back to the office and I got there and listen, I left everything in the bathroom at the office. And thank God that nobody was there when I got there because I was just,
oh God. Yes.
And I had thought that from there I should have taken an Uber and just left my rental car back at the office. And I had my briefcase, I'll just go straight to the hotel. Probably would have been the smartest thing because I drove back and I almost fell asleep twice. And hit and on one of them, I probably wouldn't have crashed, but I did fall asleep at a traffic light.
Oh, wow.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, thank God it's a short drive. I got there. I got to the hotel. I proceeded to get into bed and completely passed out. I then had to wake up because some stuff happened. I needed to talk to the contracts people. I needed to talk to people. I basically wound up still working hours and hours, but from bed, just laying down in bed and going to the bathroom. And the next day I felt somewhat better, but I had an in-person meeting and I told the person, listen, I don't think it's a good idea I come to your office. How about we just Zoom this, make this brief, and we'll go from there. So I got him on, I Zoomed that meeting. I did have to, I had to cancel a meeting I had in the afternoon on the previous day. I couldn't go to a customer. This one I Zoomed. And so that was like Tuesday. That was Wednesday, Thursday. I didn't eat for 2 days. But today, yesterday evening, after my system had been properly evacuated, I felt a lot better. I found out, I told my coworker I was celebrating with on Tuesday. I said, well, I called her up and I said, look, this happened. And she said, you know what? I know what happened. It's like, what do you mean? Well, I got a note from school. There's been a 24-hour virus going through all the kids at school and that they've been getting this. And it's been like, you know, like that, like pretty quick. And on the day that I was at the office, a whole bunch of kids, parents had picked up their kids at school and brought them to the office.
Your kids who were sick.
Well, they probably weren't. Well, they may have had it, but they weren't.
Right. Okay. It wasn't like they got called from school, come pick up your kid. They're sick. And they took them to the office.
Right.
But it was more just kids were exposed.
Yeah. And so I wound up being it. So I'm still, I did work today, a full day. But I don't really feel back to 100%.
You don't look back to 100%. You look at most 50%. To be
honest. I'm like, I'm about 50. And then, you know, it was really, really stressful with work. You know, just getting stuff and working until very, I still wound up working a long time, even though I was basically just in bed with fucking laptop and phone and shit. And you know, but yeah, I'm not.
That sucks.
And
there's no other word for it. That your week sounds awful.
It's awful. And plus, I didn't get, you know,
you didn't get done what you wanted to get done because
no, it wasn't because of that. On top,
well, it didn't help. It didn't help.
Well, it didn't help. Okay, that's for sure. But the biggest reasons for that are just, you know, happened weeks and weeks in advance. Well, we had shit like, for example, unfortunately, this is in Puerto Rico. And one of the things that a lot of stuff got delayed because we had a storm 2 weeks ago. So they had a storm, not like the storm that happened like Maria 7 years ago, but it still had some impacts. And so that a lot of people didn't get any work done that week.
Right.
So that delayed shit, honestly, probably the storm. Without that storm, we would have had enough time to get everything done. End of the month.
Right.
But, you know, hey. And I gotta be honest. I went from traveling nonstop. The pandemic made me spend 1 year where I didn't travel at all.
Right.
to now, I have slept, I don't know, I have traveled a ridiculous amount again, and I'm just, I just want to fucking go home.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired of this fucking hotel. It's a nice hotel. I'm fucking sick and tired of it.
Right.
So, no matter how fucking nice it is.
I getcha.
I did get, you know, I did, you know, I was so exhausted. One thing at least, you know, at the hotel. It's in front of the ocean. So I had just opened my slider door. And I probably, you know, when I got back from the office, I just crashed for a while. Mm-hmm. Just hearing that sound. Until some idiot started playing music outside for some reason on a plaza, decided that this was like fun to have some boombox and start playing music and woke me up.
Okay, well, I'm glad you're feeling better, even though you're not completely better. At least you're, you know, 50% is better than where it sounds like you were.
Oh, man. I mean, that was like, I mean, people were looking at me the other day. I'm like, are you okay? Well, people say it's like stress. I'm like, you're not stressing. What the fuck is going on? No. They are real sick.
So anyway, our plan for the day, this is our but first. Yvonne was just sharing his illness. Well, hopefully you can't actually catch it through listening to the podcast. That would be.
This is not like Smell-O-Vision.
No. We don't need that.
Where was Smell-O-Vision? I can't remember what the hell we had to talk about.
Well, I saw recently, actually, that you know that, the sequel to the Tornado movie, Twister 2 or whatever, just came out like a few weeks ago. And there are apparently some theaters that are like 4D something, something, blah, blah, blah.
Oh,
blah,
sure.
That I think it does include the Smell-O-Vision, but it also includes the thing where it shakes the seats and stuff
during
the movie. So apparently, like, a lot of people were, you know, watching this Tornado movie in this like theater that has like the full immersive experience where, you know, you feel like you're actually in the tornado. And I mean, you know, I don't know if they actually impale some audience members with random debris or not.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, that would be interesting. Just
a little too realistic.
That might be a little bit. You know, I've mentioned that, you know, there is this ride at Disney called Soarin' that is like that in terms of when you do the movie and they take you, you know, flying and they, you know, make you the effect of feeling like you're going, but they also add all the scents and things. Right. Like if you're in the savannah, you know, you smell that. If you're the Taj Mahal, I think there's like, I don't know what flowers, roses, whatever there are, you get those. So they do add that to the experience. So that they do that. Yeah. I guess it's, you know, somebody decided, hey, let's,
I think once or twice I went to things that had that kind of stuff and, you know, it was a novelty. Like, but it was not when I went, it wasn't like a regular movie. It was a movie that was designed to do these things. So I think it was 3D too. So of course they were always like shoving stuff at your face. And then like at certain points in the thing, it would shake, or at certain points they'd spray some smell in your general direction. And I'm like, okay, this was an interesting experience. I wouldn't want like normal movies to be like this, you know?
I think that, you know, the thing is that, you know, the thing with those kinds of movies, right, is that they're focusing more on the effects rather on the movie. Mm-hmm. And so it's just not a good movie. It's just something to show off that they can do the effect, you know, whereas if you have a good movie and you intersperse like really good, like surround sound that feels realistic and certain movements and certain things that you do it like that, it's directly related to the plot, but that makes more sense. Otherwise, it's just
gimmicky. Yeah, I mean, I think even there, I mean, yes, you can do it so it's really good and it's integral to the experience. But like most movies, I don't want to smell what's going on. I just don't want to. Like, I don't care how integral it is to the story. I don't want to smell it. I'm sorry. And like, if I'm sitting on my couch, relaxing, watching a movie,
it smells like shit.
Well, yeah, I don't want necessarily, oh, they're going through a cow pasture. Lovely. I can smell it. You know, and I don't want my couch to shake.
Maybe
I don't know.
Smells are not, you know, the thing. But I look, but there is a big, big, big difference in, you know, when you go to an IMAX movie with the sound, you know, that is realistic versus, you know, you're watching it on your phone.
Well, yes, compared to watching on your phone. And also, like, even like a regular television or television versus right. sound bar versus a real like 7.2 surround system, whatever. Right. Like, there are differences at all of those levels. And, but, you know, most, and like I have the surround sound, I have the surround sound system in my living room when I watch things. But, you know, and occasionally it matters. Like if you're watching a movie that takes advantage of it.
Well, part of the problem is that when you have it on all the time, you stop noticing that it's happening. And so, you know, it's one of those things that I really notice it when I, you know, for example, I'm traveling and I'm watching something and some rinky-dink thing with a little speaker. It's not exactly really that much, you know, it's not really.
You notice the difference more after that. Yeah.
Of course. I mean, yeah.
I mean, and like most of the time, what's on my projector system in my
living room is
news. And like, you know,
I think where you really notice it, it's like a movie, like a really well-made movie.
I was just going to say, surround sound does not add a lot to Wolf Blitzer.
No.
You know?
No. Probably the opposite, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, but, and even with movies.
Mr. Wolf.
On the kind. Yes, Mr. Wolf. It depends on the kind of movie, too. Like some movies, you know, like an action movie is going to take a lot more advantage of the surround sound and stuff like that than a rom-com,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
You know, so, I mean, you may still get some of that, like some ambient noises from behind you and some stuff like that, but it makes more of a difference in things that where there's lots of movement and action and things going on, you know? So, and
all right, anyway, we've dragged this out
anyway,
long enough. Okay, all right, what are you going to
okay.
say? What are you
going to say?
Right down.
Should I skip my movie? We can get right onto the meat of things.
What's your movie this week?
Ghostbusters.
The first one?
The first one.
Okay, first you watched it.
19,
oh, are you, okay, wait.
Oh, yeah. I have seen Ghostbusters many times before. This comes from when the newest Ghostbusters was in the theater. My wife was like, hey, let's go see it. And then we were like, well, wait. Like we haven't seen the one immediately before it. And it's sort of a direct sequel to the one immediately before it. So I'm like, you know, let's watch all of the Ghostbusters and then we'll go see the new one. Like, so let's catch up on the series. But of course, catching up on the series took us months. And so it's long gone from the theaters now. We could, it's now available on streaming, the newest one. We have caught up. Like, we've actually watched all the ones prior to the newest ones. We skipped for now the various Ghostbusters TV series. We've skipped those. There were like three cool. different Ghostbusters cartoons or something, but we have skipped those. But we have watched all of the Ghostbusters movies. But now I'm only here to talk about the first one. And I'll get to the other ones later. But
okay, all right, let's talk about the first.
So, I mean, it's a classic.
How does it hold up 40 years later?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Like, there are a few parts that fall flat, like, but I'd say mostly it holds up.
That's good.
And I mean, you know,
I am remembering some of the lines like from it. I'm just smiling from like thinking some of the stuff because I still remember that one of the first parts is what's his name? Oh God, Bill Murray doing these experiments on this with these two people. Or I guess he's like doing electrical torture or something. Getting the questions and the reality is he's just after you know he wanted just this girl. He was just torturing the other poor guy.
Yeah, he was zapping the guy and telling the guy that he got everything wrong, where the woman that was there got everything right, and there was you are psychic. This is amazing. Like blah blah blah. Yes. I'm going to give it a thumbs up. I mean, Ghostbusters is Ghostbusters. I mean, who hasn't like seen this? Like, I don't know. It's, you know, like I said, some parts hold up a little bit better than others, but for the most part, it's pretty consistently still funny. And it's got some classic moments and, you know, and spoilers, you got the marshmallow guy near the end and, you know,
yes.
Ray, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes. You know, stuff like that. It's got good lines. It's you know, there's a reason it's a beloved franchise. Oh, blah blah.
I'm trying
blah.
To think of something that just can't make me happy. It was the little marshmallow guy.
Exactly. And you're right. I mean, it's exactly 40 years. It came out in 1984.
I'm pretty sure it was 40 years. Yeah.
Yeah. 40 years in June. So we're 2 months past 40 years.
I'm wondering when that movie came out 40 years before, what was the number one movie in 1944? I'm going to check.
Okay.
1944. Okay. See, 4 years before that, the number one movie was called Me Going My Way.
No idea.
Me neither. The second one I've heard, but I don't think I've watched it. Meet Me in St. Louis.
I've heard of that, but I don't think I've
watched it. I've never watched it. Top grossing movies. Going My Way. I don't know what the hell it's about. Let's see. What is it about? It doesn't really say here. What's wrong? Okay. God, I'm slow. My Way, I said, right? 1944?
Yeah.
Yeah, Going My Way, 1944. Going. Okay. It's a musical.
Okay.
Wow. With Bing Crosby. Is a 1944
okay,
American musical?
Okay, I've got to add this to my list, I guess.
Drama yeah. film directed by Leo McCarey and starring Bing Crosby and Barry Fitzgerald, written by Frank Butler, based on a story by McCarey. The film is about the new young priest taking over a parish from an established old veteran. Crosby sings five songs, with others performed on screen by Metropolitan Opera star Miss Soprano Rye Stevens.
Okay, I've added both that one and Meet Me in St. Louis, which is also a musical, to my grand list of movies.
I can see how this kind of movie, light and frothy, 1944 with the war going on, seemed like something that people want to watch.
Yeah, a nice distraction from everything else that was going on and
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes sense.
Anyway, Ghostbusters is also kind of light and frothy. It's not a serious yes. movie at all. It's a comedy. You know, they're really goofy, silly things happening throughout the movie. It's just fun. It's just a fun romp. You know, it has a nice, you know, exciting ending that, you know, spoilers again, it turns out well, everyone's happy, they're triumphant, whatever. Has a good song, you know.
Has a good song.
You know, who are you going to call? Catchphrase that has lasted 40 fucking years.
I mean, I mean, that's the thing. I guess, you know, think about, okay, nobody remembers that fucking movie from 1944. But that,
now, to be fair, it's been 80 years now. Maybe they did remember it 40 years ago. Like if you were a teenager when that movie came out and people made references to it, you might know them right off the top of your head.
But I don't think, I will say, to be fair, that those war years were not peak for movie making.
Mm.
Okay.
You know, there are a few classics from the 40s.
There are a few, but it was, you know, because of the war, I mean, they weren't making as many, like, say, you know, big movie productions. It's just, you know, there were even actors and people who were going to war themselves.
Right.
So it wasn't exactly, like, you know, the easiest time for that. So I guess to be fair, is not good judging like that time period on. By the way, that movie, Going My Way, 83% on Rotten Tomatoes, 90% on Metacritic.
Okay.
So it does have some good, you know, good reviews. So.
Okay. And yeah, like to this day, I mean, if you say who you're going to call,
who you're going to call,
I mean, people know the right way to respond to that phrase.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. 40 years later. Yes. So that was a very iconic movie indeed of the 1980s. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, I'm not sure if you picked like a random 18-year-old, would they get the references instantly? Now,
they might, because we've got the new Ghostbusters.
Yeah, well, they got the new one. And one of the differences between now and when we were kids is the absolutely easy access to the back catalog.
So what are you talking about? Didn't you stream your movies back in 1984?
I mean, it was, I'm sure it was possible to go get Going My Way at the Blockbuster and watch it, but it took probably a little bit
not
more.
Probably not.
I don't know.
Blockbuster, because the Blockbusters used to have a very limited selection, you know, of what the hell was current, what the hell was renting frequently. Yes, they did have some of those old classics, but, you know, it wasn't like they had every movie available. Okay.
Well, because you had to maintain physical inventory and you have limited space. So you have to pick and choose the things that people are likely to get. And so,
exactly.
So you'd have a classic section, but there'd only be, the really big things.
Like Casablanca, stuff like that, whatever, that everybody remembered. Okay. You know,
now there were back in the day, there were some specialty video stores that specialized in certain eras or certain genres.
Yeah,
or whatever.
but you had to go find those.
You had to go find them. You had to do that. Yeah.
Well, exactly. It's not like, you know, I still remember the scene in the movie Big where he was the CEO of the, you know, he's a big shot at the toy company. And I don't think we had the facility where Tom Hanks goes and says, hey, could you go get me a copy of the Super Bowl and just edit out all the commercials so I can watch it when I want, please? So, yeah, we didn't have those kind of powers.
Yeah. And
I definitely couldn't get Big
to my list, too. So anyway, thumbs up to Ghostbusters. If you haven't seen it, I'm not even going to pretend anybody listening has not seen Ghostbusters. But if you haven't seen it recently, it's worth a rewatch. And, you know, like, you know, no spoilers for the other ones. I'll do Ghostbusters 2 next week. But, you know, so far we've caught up with all of the Ghostbusters other than the brand new one that was out in the theaters this year. And, you know, it's worth watching the whole damn series. You know, it's fun.
I'm going to say that I'm pretty sure I guess I watched probably Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2. That's where I am.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. So
we'll talk about the rest in due course as I get to them in order, and starting with Ghostbusters 2 next week.
I'm looking. So it's Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah.
So then there was a 2016 reboot, which was, what the heck was that called?
It was just called Ghostbusters. They retroactively added like some name to it, but it was just called Ghostbusters. It was the one with female Ghostbusters that was in a different continuity. So like they tried to reboot the series from scratch rather than making a sequel. And it kind of fell flat. And it's like, when I get to that movie in order, we'll talk about this more, but there was a controversy. Did people hate it because it was actually bad, or because there was a lot of hate to it just because they cast women? And so was it bad because it was bad, or was it bad because people just had a negative reaction to casting women in these
films? Then we got Ghostbusters Afterlife and then Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
I've seen all of them except Frozen Empire. I haven't seen Frozen Empire yet. And there are also a whole bunch of, TV shows, you know, animated TV shows and blah, blah, blah. So there's a bunch of stuff. I haven't watched the TV shows. But maybe someday.
I haven't watched TV shows, nor the sequels, nor the anything. But I will say that I think you're motivating me to watch Ghostbusters with my son.
Well, and that's the thing. Like now there are a few scenes that get slightly racy, but like PG-13 racy, not R racy.
That's fine. You think knowing me, maybe a little bit slightly racy. I mean, come on, the kid, like right now, all the complaints I was listening to today is that, you know, he's saying shit a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, well, what the fuck you expect?
Now, here's the question. Do you have him saying shit in English, Spanish, or both?
No, in English. The thing is that we've been focusing on his English because He's at, I mean, he is right now. I've seen that he's picking up more words in Spanish. Okay. But right. we've been focusing on his English. And I will say that I have focused my cursing lately more in English.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, no, we like, I watch all these movies with Alex and we have never shied away from, you know, the R-rated stuff. You know, it's just like, you know, if he doesn't like it, he will leave. Alarm.
No, sorry. Alert. I have been woken up by a fire alarm in this hotel before and had been stuck outside for a while. So
understood. Anyway, like we don't shy away from that. My whole philosophy for that is like he can self-censor. If he's upset by what he sees, he can leave or he can tell me
what's going on. You know, it's not like, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like...
he doesn't like me swearing.
Oh, no, he does not like the swearing, but he will watch movies with swearing with me. Like, he will...
So the problem with the swearing is more for me.
Is you. Oh, yeah.
Well,
no.
Okay.
No, he doesn't like the swearing. He will cringe when there's swearing in a movie we are watching, but he will not ask me to stop the movie.
Okay.
Although there are a few movies that have tested that because of how much swearing was in them. But,
But the opposite, my son is apparently picking up, chip off the old block.
There you go. Okay, let's take a break. And then we will do our two segments of more newsy things. I never actually said the agenda. It's the usual two segments of more newsy stuff. The first one will be stuff picked by Yvonne. The second one will be stuff picked by me, assuming Yvonne makes it that far. If Yvonne collapses, we'll just end the show. That's fine. We can have a short show. It's good. But
we'll call the emergency service.
But this first break is another Apple Dream. This is Apple Dream 35. It's a short one, 1 minute or so. Here we go.
I was in a high-rise apartment for the first time visiting a friend. And there was a balcony and a view of a city. And I remember discussing how when you have a toddler, if you have a balcony like that, you seal it off entirely. You do not let them out there, ever, because you don't want them to fall off.
That's good advice.
There was more that happened before I got up to this high-rise apartment, but I don't remember what it was anymore. Bye.
And that's it. So, you know, don't let your toddlers play around freely in the balcony in your high rise.
The always necessary child safety Apple Dream.
Yeah. And, you know, like I'm thinking it's been a long time. Like I've got a backlog of these on my phone that I've never published to TikTok. And at some point I need to catch up on them and I haven't recorded a new one. Like I'm so far behind on publishing the ones I already recorded on my phone that I got out of the habit of like, okay, if I wake up in the middle of the night and I still remember a dream, quick, record it. I haven't done that in many months. Like if I wake up and I had a really good one, I'll do it. But if I wake up and like, okay, there was a dream, but it was like mediocre or not all that interesting, I'll be like, screw it. Yeah, I'm not going to do it right now. I don't feel like
sounds fair.
Back to bed.
You know? Sounds fair.
If I caught up, maybe, but like I haven't done that in a while. Anyway, Yvonne, of the newsy topics, what do you have in mind?
Well, there's a number of political ones. What are we talking about? We got, I see one, two, three, four political ones. So why don't we talk about those? Okay.
Where do you want to start on politics?
Where do we want to start on politics? Well, I started politics on the polls, Sam. Will you give it an update?
Let me bring that up real quick. So
I sent Sam a ton of polls, so give him a lot of work.
Well, you know, actually, in this case, like about half an hour to an hour after you sent them to me. Like, the Bloomberg article was behind the paywall, but the link to the detailed polls was in the part you could see before they grayed out and said you had to register or whatever.
That's
like
cool.
Sometimes the link to the full details is like below that part. Now, interestingly enough, the actual like PDF with the full results is not behind the paywall. So if you have the link, you can get to that. But okay. The link to it is in the article that they publish. And depending on the article, like if they mention,
right, if they include that link, they put it way high.
The way Bloomberg works, which is where this set of polls that you've on, they let you see like the first two or three paragraphs. And then after that, they're like, to see any more, you have to pay. And sometimes they put the link in the top part and sometimes they put it in the bottom part. This time they put it in the top part. So I was actually able to link to and get to the whole thing, but I had a head start on it because Yvonne sent it to me. But no, here's where we are right now. Bottom line, we are still in a neck and neck race, essentially, with Harris having a slight advantage at this point. If you go to electiongraphs.com, you'll see my first of all, the straight up, like, trust all the polls. If either candidate has even the very slightest advantage, assume they're going to win. And if you do that, Harris wins by 46 electoral votes right now. And the tipping point is Pennsylvania, with Harris ahead by 0.9%. So that's still a fairly narrow margin of error there, but she is ahead. And the reason I say that is because if, like the last couple of cycles, the polls have underestimated the Republicans. If they underestimated the Republicans by the same amount that they have the last couple of cycles, you end up Trump with a very narrow victory, like even though the polls show Harris slightly ahead. Now, if this time the polls are underestimating the Democrat, it goes the other way, and maybe this is a Harris landslide. You know, the problem is, like, there are so many states that are really close right now. So Let me read you some of the close states right now. Here are all the states that where the current margin is less than 2.5%.
Okay.
Virginia, Harris is ahead by 2.4%. Michigan, Harris is ahead by 2.1%. Nebraska's second congressional district, I currently have the average at Harris up by 1.8, but there have been very few polls right there, so grain of salt there. Pennsylvania, Harris up by 0.9. Nevada, Harris up by 0.5. Georgia actually has Harris ahead right now, but only by 0.4. Iowa's in this list has Trump up by 0.6, but there have been zero Trump versus Harris polls in Iowa so far. So that's based only on sort of Iowa's average behavior over the last five elections, and it has been moving more red. So I don't actually expect Iowa to be anywhere near that close. It's probably a strong Trump state at this point, but there just haven't been any polls to prove that yet. Arizona, Trump up by 0.6%. North Carolina, Trump up by 1.2%. Maine's second congressional district, Trump up by only 1.4%. Every single thing I just listed is like incredibly close and could easily go either way, even if you assume the polls are generally right. Now, if the polls have some sort of systematic error to them, that adds to things. But like, those are just like right on the edge, all of those states. That's like a huge number. And so if you look at, you know, just, and I did 2.5%, but like my best case and worst case in the trust the polls says any state under 5% could go either way fairly easily. The range you get from that is from Harris by 174 to Trump by 114. Like, it's a massive range.
Ridiculous.
You know, because you got a huge number of states with lots and lots of electoral votes very close. And the polls have been moving. As a general statement about trends, we had massive movement towards Harris after Biden dropped out for the first few weeks to like the beginning of August. Then we had a little bit back to Trump, and then back to Harris again. And then In the last, I don't know, couple weeks, it moved back towards Trump again and then has started to move back towards Harris again since the convention. But we're still, it's still close. It's still, there's a lot of back and forth as we get new polls in or out.
I've seen a whole bunch of national polls also that are showing like just some, you know.
The national polls have generally speaking had a slow trend towards Harris, but we're back down a little bit from the peak.
But it's been like a tiny amount. They got to like a three, you know, like on Thursday.
The high was 3.9% and it's back down to 3.4.
Four. Exactly. And it's been around that range basically. Yeah. So, yeah.
And so,
yeah, it's not mailing it in. This is over.
No, not at all. Like right now, my odds, I have my two different models that account for the amount of time left for an election, which as we are recording is, refresh, 66.9 days left. But between, like, I'm going to ignore the if the election was today stuff, but my model, including the time left, my two models, the range is from Harris having a 53.1% chance to Harris having a 57.2% chance. So she is favored a little bit, but that's not like, we're not talking 95%.
No.
This is not that far away from a coin toss at this point. And that's where we are now. I mean, I think, you know, so it frankly, like, I mean, we haven't yet had a big convention bounce show up, but we still don't have a lot of post-convention polls. We have a few. There were a whole bunch, you know, Yvonne mentioned he made me a bunch of work, but over the last 48 to 72 hours, there have been so many swing state polls. There have been quite a lot. And so it looks like the, if we got a convention bounce, at least so far, it looks pretty small.
Mm. Well, I think in one thing is that we all know.
Man. The thing is that things had bounced so far towards Harris already.
Exactly.
It's hard to squeeze more juice out of that.
That's what I was thinking.
But here's the thing though. And this gets me back. I have a couple charts on electiongraphs.com that compare to 2016 and 2020. Right now, it looks like unless something major changes in the next couple days, for the very first time ever, Harris will be doing better than Clinton was doing at the same time before the election.
Wow. Okay.
For the
good.
Like, again, that we're not quite there yet. We're like a day or two away from like a place in the calendar where Clinton suddenly did much worse for a few days. that's where we're talking. But we're still nowhere near where Biden was in 2020. Like, we're still several percent behind. Like at the moment, like I'll give you like the stats as of right now, 67 days before the election. Right now we have the tipping point, which is the margin in the state that would put the winner over the edge. We have Harris up by 0.9% in the tipping point state, which right now is Pennsylvania. At this exact same time, 67 days before the election, Clinton was up by 3.4% and Biden was up by 4.6%. So we're still a long way behind the pace of either of those two times. And of course, Biden just barely pulled it out and Clinton lost. So, you know, so as you said, we got a long way to go. Nobody should be complacent there are a lot of things that indicate how we've talked about how Trump seems to be struggling right now in terms of how to respond to Harris and how he's getting less rational and how he's doing things that should hurt him. But
it's,
you know,
not impacting his voters. I mean, they're just whatever.
I mean, he's got the core group that is not going to change no matter what. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've seen is actually like, I mentioned this last time we were talking polls on the show, but like for the most part, the changes here have been on the Democratic side, where the Democrats are doing stronger. Like everything I talked about on election graphs is all centered around margins. But if you separate it out, to look at how the Democrat is doing versus how the Republican is doing. Basically, what's going on here is the Democrat has been improving, but Trump has been staying flat. Like right. The number of people supporting
is
Trump
support is like not is, moving.
Is not moving. Yeah, I mean a little bit, but
not that much.
Like if you look on the national polls, like 538's national poll graph, and this is especially clear. Like if you look on mobile, or you know, so that you have a narrower thing, it's even more obvious than if you look on desktop. But you know, I'm looking since this only has since Biden dropped out because they have Biden versus Harris. But when on, what was it, July 24th, Trump was at 44% in their average. As of right now, Trump is at 43.7% in their average. He's dropped 0.3% in that time frame. Meanwhile, Harris has gone from 44.9 to 47.2. So Harris has gotten some right. movement, but Trump, it's just flat. It's just flat. You know, nobody's coming or going. So this is all about undecideds and maybe a few of those RFK people jumping to Harris. That's what it's about. It's not people are turning away from
Trump. And it's all the one thing that like we've said about, we don't exactly know about turnout. And which always yep. is a big driver around all of these things and why.
Well, and you hear anecdotally all these stories about how, like, you know, the support for Trump is, you know, you're not seeing as many like Trump parades and you're not seeing as many signs or the trucks with the flags behind them. And they're just less than there were before. But. And so maybe that indicates less enthusiasm, but does it mean they won't vote?
No, but I think more like a lot of that we've talked about over the last 4 years has been turnout for special elections and all these other things, et cetera, that we've been surprised. We've been continuously surprised. You know, we were continuously surprised in 2016 and even in 2020 on turnout in the opposite direction. But what we have been repeatedly surprised in the opposite direction, it doesn't, you know, to create a massive landslide, in the electoral system, it's not like it takes a lot of points.
Right.
1 to 2 points that you're underestimating on one candidate at number of states creates a landslide. It's that simple in the EV college. And so,
I just brought up election betting odds. So this is... This averages odds from Betfair, Smarkets, Predictit, and Polymarket.
Okay.
And right now, at this very second, they have Harris 49.1%, Trump 49.1%.
Jesus.
So, and then like other random people that's just dumbass. It's not even the right people. Like if an asteroid hit and killed both Trump and Harris, the people they have third, fourth, fifth, and sixth on the list are not the people who would be most likely.
Which is why those aren't exactly the best places to look at.
I mean, they have Haley next at 0.6% and then Michelle Obama at 0.5%. And then RFK Jr. at 0.2% and Hillary Clinton at 0.1%.
Okay.
You know, here's the thing. Like it is possible that neither Trump or Harris will end up as president. There are scenarios that play out that way. One or both of them could drop dead or have to drop out or whatever. That could happen. But in the scenarios that happens, we're not going to get Haley, Obama, Kennedy, or Clinton. We're going to get like Walz or Vance, you know? Or even if those two were knocked out too. It's not going to be Haley, Obama, Kennedy, or Clinton. There would be other people who would be more likely anyway.
Okay. All right.
Of course, I should say this.
Yeah.
If both Harris and Trump were, well, you'd have to kill Biden too. Like I was going to say, like you could end up with like Speaker of the House Johnson or somebody as president if you knocked out people, you know?
Oh, God. Okay. Well, no, but you've had Johnson. Yeah.
Biden. Okay. Did you had other politics questions besides polls or?
We had these things that happened. You didn't watch the interview.
I did not. I heard, I've heard clips, basically. I've not watched it.
I mean, it sounded good.
The basic summary of the impressions I've heard from people and from the few clips I have heard is that Harrison Walls both essentially knocked it out of the park in terms of handling the interview well. However, the interview itself was just dumb.
The questions were dumb,
and it's like didn't add any real information. There was a lot of "What do you think about this Republican talking point?" Like a lot of the questions were structured like that. Now I've seen I've read some of the chyrons on Fox News when I have like the four up display with all the news networks, and they're doing a lot of like the interview proved she's unserious, you know, and. You know, that she has no weight and no real policy and blah, blah, blah.
She has no weight? What, she's weightless? What, is she in space?
Probably.
Our first president in space.
You know, but from the little bits I've heard, she handled the questions that were asked very well. Trump said that was boring. Trump said it was boring, which, again, that's not necessarily bad. No. Like there were policy questions asked where she answered in detail. She like knew what the fuck she was talking about and said, well, you know, XYZ, and here's why we did this, and here's what we're gonna do next, and blah 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 blah. And
Trump expected them to like, I don't know, do the tango or something. Like,
and you know what you're used to, like in a Trump interview, is that he doesn't answer the question at all. Instead, he yells about how the question is stupid. He yells about how it's unfair. How he actually won the 2020 election and people are after him, you know, and like all of this sort of performative stuff without any, like, and this people have brought up over and over and over again, which is like the ridiculous double standard that is applied here. Like people are nitpicking Harrison Walls on like detailed policy questions. And you exactly right in the way you worded your history about whatever? And meanwhile, Trump can't say a single sentence without without lying like about every word.
And
like he says things that don't make sense. He says things that have no relation to reality whatsoever. Just in the last couple of days, he's gone back and forth on abortion and IVF.
But that was the next thing that I had on my list. Hey Sam, is Trump, you know, pro-choice? Is he pro-IVF? Is he anti? What is he, Sam?
Look, here's the thing, and this applies to absolutely everything Trump-related.
Yeah.
He doesn't give a shit about the actual policy. He says what he thinks will get him to win.
Correct.
Like, and this, every single issue, like he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't care at all.
What can I say to win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. And so like he sensed that people were upset a little bit about abortion. And so he tried to moderate his opinion a bit. And guess what? His quote unquote base got really upset by it. So he went back the other direction a few hours later. And of course, before that, he was taking credit for getting rid of Roe. And he's been trying to push this. Everybody wanted it to just go to the states, and that's what they got. So everybody should be happy.
Everybody wanted it. Now everybody had been clamoring for it to go to the states. Sam, did you hear about this? That was all what all the polls said.
Yeah, everybody. And so he's flailing around trying to figure out the fact that like this, out of several issues where his stated positions in the past and the Republican Party more generally, they're where they have really unpopular positions, he's trying to triangulate and figure out how to say something that will get more people on board. And it has absolutely nothing to do with his beliefs on the damn issue. If he ever says something that actually represents a belief, it's an accident. And
he doesn't know
what he's talking about anyway.
No, he believes that he should get money. Now that's one thing.
That is one thing that he actually has a principled opinion on.
His very principled opinion on cryptocurrency, that which is
he hated it until he had a big donor that liked it, and then he likes it,
and then he's going to be the most crypto pro president ever, and then he was going to, as usual. I mean, the thing is, I don't understand how these people support him when he does this shit every time. I'm going to be announcing, you know, you were talking about the double standard. Harris asked a question about policy, giving a detail. I'm going to announce the detailed cryptocurrency that my administration will have, because the United States is going to be a crypto. What the fuck was it? It was like heaven. It was like the Olympus, whatever the fuck it was. Okay. Just like the best place for crypto. And we're going to create like some kind of crypto, like super fund or something or whatever. And then he announces his crypto thing. And basically he's getting paid by some guy to brand his own crypto currency. That's it.
Yeah, nice.
And then he decided to promote it to everybody on, lo and behold, on X.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By shoving around this guy who I guess is paying him money for some new cryptocurrency. That's the Trump cryptocurrency policy. Buy the Trump branded crypto. I will get money, and we will be fine.
And yes, and this is not the only issue he's done this on. Like, yeah, he's completely reversed opinion.
I mean, how the hell during a campaign he's selling $99 digital trading card? Which scam is he not running, man?
And nothing's changed. I mean, he's been doing this the whole time. It's just like, what's this week's version?
It's like in the middle of a fucking election campaign. He's like, oh yeah, let me just announce another scam. And so, okay, the other thing that I've got here on the list that everybody seems to have forgotten already.
Arlington?
That one's like, whatever. No, more important, superseding indictment, Sam.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about that, and then I'll do Arlington for a little bit. But yeah, we had the superseding indictment. The reason it's gone away so quickly in terms of attention is because there were no charges added or anything. This was the special counsel for the DC case, the January 6th case, just refiling the indictment, essentially taking out all the stuff the Supreme Court said they couldn't use.
Right.
So they actually, as we are recording, both the special counsel and Trump's lawyers have a few hours left to submit their briefs to Judge Chunkin, is that how you say it? Anyway, whatever, you know how bad we are at names. Yes, briefs, not underwear. All the lawyers have to submit their underwear.
That would be one hell of a way of doing this, but no, thank you.
No, they have to submit their briefs on how this case should proceed, given the Supreme Court's judgment on presidential immunity. But the superseding indictment is specifically redoing the indictment, taking out everything that would be problematic, given what the Supreme Court said, or in the cases where the Supreme Court said there was a presumption, but that could be overcome, putting in detailed arguments about why it overcame the presumption and stuff like that. So it's not like new charges. It's just representing the old charges in a way designed to deal with the Supreme Court decision.
Right. Okay.
Because there was some evidence that they are like, there are some things like the where he talked to the Justice Department to try to get them to do bogus investigations that the Supreme Court said was off limits. So that stuff's completely gone. There are some places where there were references to conversations that happened in the Oval Office or tweets that were done from the Oval Office. Those references are gone. They also added stuff to specifically point out that all the co-conspirators were acting in their private capacities. When they were talking about Mike Pence, they made it clear, they took out things where there were conversations with Mike Pence about executive office functions, like when, just generally when they were talking about election fraud, for instance, all that stuff's gone. But they left in when Pence was acting as president of the Senate, because that isn't, that's, you know, not the, right, vice, pre- not, the vice president has a dual role. Yes, they're right, an executive branch, but when they're, when they're acting as president of the Senate, they're actually part of the legislative branch.
Correct.
And so they made it clear, like almost every time Pence was mentioned, they talked about, you know,
that in he was his role
as president of
president
the Senate.
Of the Senate.
And anywhere they couldn't say that, they took out. So that, those are the kinds of changes they made. And, you know, like I said, within the next few hours, it's due by, I think, Friday midnight Eastern time. So getting very close here. They're supposed to submit their plans to the judge on how to move forward. And then sometime next week, we'll hear more about that as well. Because I think the judge is going to have a hearing, and then they'll make a decision, and then we'll see what's going forward on that. So yeah, that's what's going on with the superseding indictment.
Okay. Well, so Arlington, you want to mention something about the Arlington thing? I'm just like, I don't know. What do you expect from this asshole?
So here's the thing. And this is an example of, like, as well, of has Trump lost some of his mojo here? Because the intention here was to beef up his, you know, his whole reputation with the military, and specifically the thing that he was going to at Arlington was the 1 year anniversary. Was it 1 year, 2 years? Whatever.
Yeah, I think it's whatever.
2 years.
The anniversary.
Yeah, however many years it is, we've lost track of the soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan while we were withdrawing. And so he was going with the families of some of those people who were killed to visit their graves, blah, blah, blah. And so the intention was, A, highlight Biden's issue in Afghanistan. Of all the things in his presidency, that was one of the ones that was the most chaotic. And you can argue why it almost had to be that way, but nevertheless, it was not a good look. Mm-hmm. And so he wanted to highlight that. And plus, he wanted some nice pictures of him supporting veterans and stuff.
Yeah, but that's the problem.
But it completely backfired on him, because he went and, like, he made a campaign commercial out of this, but the problem is that there are federal laws saying you can't do that at that part of the cemetery.
Right.
And
there's a good reason for that.
You know, basically, you
not
cannot,
just at that cemetery, at any of the military cemeteries around, you know, that exist.
Right. Well, apparently,
the national cemetery.
No, but even within the national cemeteries, apparently, like, if you want to do that in the part that has Civil War veterans, you can do it. The parts that are restricted are the parts that are from modern wars, where the relatives of the dead are still very actively visiting people they knew, right? So he went in, him and his team. They were told multiple times that, no, you cannot have, you know, video and photography in this area, like, you know, your own private ones, especially anything related to your campaign. They ignored that. Somebody on their team assaulted the army person who was telling them no. And then, and of course, they use all this footage in a commercial anyway, and it has Trump standing next to the grave, grinning and giving a big thumbs up sign. And it's like,
I didn't see that. He's beside a grave, grinning with a thumbs up.
Yes, yes.
I cannot.
And so, of course,
that part I didn't know.
Yes, yes, that is the case. I've seen the pictures. I've seen, and not a, it's not just that the picture exists. They are using this in ads.
Okay. I'm gonna go right beside my family's grave and just be sitting over there.
Yes, the big thumbs up, big grin.
It's literally a meme.
It's so,
literally a meme like this. Jesus fucking Christ.
So here's the thing: like, all sorts of military organizations who already weren't all that hot on him because of the statements he's made about, you know, prisoners of war being idiots. You know, John McCain and others, he made statements while he was president that he didn't want, like, the people, you know, who were in wheelchairs because they lost legs in the war. Don't bring them in here. Don't show them. No one wants to see that. He said things like that. He made a comment just a couple weeks ago about the Medal of Honor not being as good as the Medal for Civilians because
the Medal of Freedom.
Because, you know, the you didn't have to die or be injured to get the other one. You know, and so a lot of military organizations have basically condemned his behavior at the cemetery, all that. Now, there was one fake poll that's been going around showing,
oh,
like,
God, the fake poll, which I wasn't. I suspected it had to be fake. And I said this, I said, is this real? But yeah, somebody went and doctored like a Fox screen
to show like 90%.
I'm like looking at it. I'll go, bullshit. No ways.
Yeah. It was like,
I would dream,
had Trump,
no.
Trump's ratings being like near zero for everything, like 10%, 5%,
yeah, no.
Whatever amongst military family. It was both.
Should be, bullshit. but it isn't.
It isn't like the, you know, and the military has been getting less Republican over time.
Yeah.
But historically, the military has been a very conservative organization.
Yes, yes.
And so you certainly don't get, like, you know, suddenly the military are the most liberal people in the universe and are all 95% for Harris or some bullshit like that. But it is hurting him amongst those groups.
Yeah, it's not
because
happening.
Because he's got this obvious disrespect for military institutions, and people have pointed out it's more general than that. It's that he simply cannot comprehend the idea of doing something for the purpose of serving others.
Yeah.
That you are willing to sacrifice your own opportunities or your life because you are serving some higher cause. That is completely alien to him. He can't understand that happening. And so, you know, so whenever you get that kind of scenario where someone has died or been injured or hell, even when they're doing something like they're giving up financial opportunities to work in the public sector, you know, let alone like dying or being injured, what do you mean you're teaching for like $30K a year when you could be doing something that made you money?
Right.
You know, you just can't understand. And this stuff seems to be like a lot of people are reacting negatively to it. But again, we were just talking about polls, like yep. His numbers are flat. Like most of the people who actually care about this kind of stuff already left him a long time ago, and the ones that are left are going to be there forever.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Okay. That's all the stuff I had on that.
Are we done with politics?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take another break, and then I'll bring up a couple non-politics things, and then we'll wrap this sucker up. Back after this. Okay, there we are. For those of you who are just listening on audio, you missed both Yvonne and I sort of dancing and bopping along.
Dancing, bopping,
yeah. Okay, I got three things that, you know, aren't directly related, but are sort of whatever. Just three things that we can talk about quickly. So I want to start, though, with something that hit the news a few hours before we were recording. Brazil has banned Axe. What the fuck's going on, Yvonne?
Well, as far as I can tell, for a long time, the thing is, the way that I understand, and don't get me, don't, even though I don't have half
you.
The deal.
Don't quote you.
Well, no, I'm not an expert in the Brazilian legal system, even though I've had to deal with
no,
it.
No, okay? Really? You're not an expert? Well, I thought you were a Brazilian lawyer all this time. I have been under the misunderstanding.
A lot more familiar with, like, say, how federal courts work, state courts. And I know, how you could appeal U.S. federal and state courts. I understand why you could bring a state action or why you could bring a federal action for certain cases, but normally would be because the difference is a venue. You know, I know some of that. For Brazil, I know a little, okay? But one thing that I remember is that the judges, when they're assigned, they're like prosecutors themselves, okay? Mm. And so when they have been doing this investigation into X, the thing is that they have been demanding many things from X to produce them. And Elon thinking that every nation has the same rules and laws, they've been ignoring them.
Well, also, they, as well as asking for documents and other evidence and stuff, they're also asking him to remove some posts, right?
Correct. And they were also asking him to send certain content actions and according to local law. And one of the things that I always said is, and I still don't understand how X has not gotten into more trouble regarding this across the world, especially in Europe, okay, where I know that there are certain things related to this, is that if they don't have that ability, at some point, this is going to catch up with them legally big time, because they basically got rid of most of the people that do this. And so they have not been complying with orders. They've not been responding to subpoenas. They've not been responding to everything. And I'm going to, you know, from what it seems is that he's acting like everywhere where he thinks that he could just ignore the law, you know, ad infinitum. And they finally got fed up and they said, you know what? Listen, if you're going to be in complete contempt, fuck you. You know, it's a temporary order as far as I understand. It's not a permanent ban. But look, Brazilian courts have been, this is a fuck around and find out thing, because Brazilian courts that I've seen
just to be clear,
they've said
X can't operate there.
Yes.
They've also said that anybody using a VPN to get access to X anyway has significant fines, like close to $10,000 for trying to do that. I think I saw somewhere else that they're also telling app stores to pull some of the VPN software as well.
Right.
So this is a fairly extensive order to.
Well, this down the X one thing. Thing is that this is a fuck around and find out moment. Yeah. A few years ago, Facebook had been brought to court over failure to comply over certain things. I can't remember exactly related to what. Okay. Bottom line is that they kept doing the same shit. They had taken the Facebook Brazil president and jailed him.
Right. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah. And then, you know, I know another time the Cisco Brazil president was also thrown in jail. In large part, by the way, because it was found out that he was in cahoots over a scam to evade import duties.
Oh, beautiful. Yep.
So that was the thing. So, and look, even my previous employer, Kodak, and I can talk about this because this is in public filings, where if you look at the SEC filings for my old employer, Kodak, it's there. We had a whole bunch of assets frozen that were still frozen when I left, because there was a $100 million tax judgment against Kodak Brazil. And the bulk of the assets that the company owned there were under, you know, were frozen until this got resolved. So Brazilian courts don't fuck around, okay? Mm. They will, you know, it's not something, you know, their court system is strong. They're not like, they, you know, I will say that when they're talking about, when they go about enforcing shit, they don't fuck around. And so where he thinks that in the U.S. he can, like, vote a motion, make a subpoena, push off, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Man, they get really hard with big companies that don't comply. And you really, really, really just try to just
And to be clear, this isn't like X going through the legal process and in the end losing. It's them like refusing to participate in the process.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, it's like,
and then and having multiple opportunities to comply where they refused.
Right.
So, you know, well, I mean, it's a big market.
Yeah. And so one of the things I heard, I haven't had a lot of confirmation on this, but I saw a couple of people post on Mastodon that apparently a whole bunch of Brazilians in response to this are signing up for Blue Sky.
And they crashed Blue Sky.
Enough so that they crashed Blue Sky.
Well, listen, think about this. Brazil has 200 million people. They have super high internet penetration, mobile phone penetration, all this shit. This isn't like, you know, taking it away from some country that, you know, some tiny country where nobody has cell phones. So, yeah, I mean, I'm expecting the figures from a whole bunch of tech companies are going to be like, whoa, we just got a whole bunch of people signed up for shit in a hurry.
And anybody who doesn't already have a Brazilian presence is going to be like, oh, let's get that taken care of right now.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Okay. Along those same lines, the CEO of Telegram got arrested in France.
I, you know what? I read a little bit about what the hell was going on, but I didn't look at the details too much. It seems that it was like, also related to not complying with some requests for investigations and
stuff. There was some of that, and then also, well, and I've heard mixed things about this. So on the one hand, at a high level, it's, hey, Telegram has become a cesspool for illegal activities.
Yes.
Everything from child porn to, you know, coordinating like arms sales, like all this kind of stuff. But it's not like people think of, like, there's a component of it that's like a WhatsApp or whatever, where it's like person-to-person communication, and that does exist. And it, and by the way, people assume it's like end-to-end encrypted by default. It's not.
Okay.
To do that person-to-person with end-to-end encryption, you actually have to take some extra steps to do it. But Telegram also has like lots of
channels.
Really large channels that are open chat rooms.
Right.
A lot of this illegal activity was happening there. And so basically, similar to what Elon's getting in trouble for in Brazil, which, by the way, we didn't mention, they've also sanctioned SpaceX as well as X, because they're related somehow. Anyway, specifically Starlink. But with these Telegram channels, a lot of this illegal activity was happening in these public channels. It wasn't even in like the secret places.
Right.
And they were refusing to censor those locations out of a, you know, free speech mindset or whatever. Same. I mean, look, I sympathize to some degree with not wanting to put a heavy hand on censorship. But on the other hand, when you're open chat room that anybody can join is facilitating illegal activities right there.
At some point, somebody's
going to do something about that.
All the major telecommunication carriers, whatever the hell you want, have areas dedicated to basically law enforcement requests and a process and how to deal with them and how to comply with the law. Yep. Okay. When the requests come in, the problem always comes in. It's the same problem as X is having in Brazil, is that if you start getting those requests and you basically decided that you want to operate like a rogue state, well, at some point they're going to come down on you. They're going to come down on you hard, plain and simple. You have to have a process. You have to be able to respond. You have to be able to comply or say why you're not going to comply and the reasoning, period. End the story.
Or if you really and truly are like, we can't operate under those rules, then you don't operate in that country.
Then you can't operate in that country, period.
And but look, lots of companies have made significant compromises in order to operate in China, for instance.
Yeah.
Or many other countries that have severe rules that, like, they agree to things they would never agree to in the U.S., because it's the only way to be in that market. And you can judge them for that decision to make that compromise. But if you go into a country and then say, yeah, but I'm not going to follow their rules. Right. I'm going to blatantly operate illegally.
I understand that maybe you don't agree with the rule, but unfortunately that's the rule there, and you're going to suffer the consequences if you don't comply. Simple as that. I mean,
yeah. So, and now the one thing that I heard was part, and I don't have the details. I have not dug into this, and a bad host for not doing so, bringing up a topic I haven't researched fully. Oops. Like we ever do that here, you know, like we always only.
Oh, no, we are the experts on everything.
On everything. Like we would
never make a mistake.
No. We never pull shit out of our asses to talk.
No, about never, never, never.
Anyway, apparently there are one part of this potentially is about asking for encryption keys and other stuff that might compromise privacy for people using Telegram. And there's some questions about what Telegram has, what Telegram doesn't have, what level of encryption they have, and when do they apply it, and stuff like that, that may have implications of France doing some things that have other negative consequences as well. But in the end, like you said, it boils down to, if you don't like the laws in a country, then maybe don't do business in that country. But if you are going to do business in that country, you're kind of forced to follow their laws.
Yeah,
that's part basically of the deal. And whether you like them or not, you can lobby to change the laws. You can say it should be something else and work in whatever way that country has to change laws. But if you are blatantly going to do something against the laws of the country after multiple warnings that apparently happened in this case, as in Brazil, then in the end, the country is going to do something. And in this case, unlike Brazil shut down X, France did not shut down Telegram. They arrested the CEO instead.
I mean, Elon actually said the other day when he saw about this whole thing that maybe he's going to have to curtail some travel. Because good. He's afraid of legal repercussions.
I'm sorry. Like, I would not shed tears over Elon getting arrested somewhere.
No, not really, no.
Yeah, go ahead and make that trip to Brazil, Elon.
I'm sure that'll go fine. I actually had a boss deported from Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
I had a boss that arrived that did not have the proper papers, a VP at HP, and he basically was not allowed to enter and was summarily deported.
Beautiful. That's what you want to see happen.
Yes.
One more thing.
Let's see. What are
the
what
stranded
else?
Astronauts?
Well, they're going to be stranded more longer. And they're sending the ship back.
NASA officially made the decision. We talked about how this might be possible, but it's now official. They are not going to let the astronauts go back to Earth on the Boeing capsule because they don't think it's safe. At least they don't feel it's safe
enough. Here's the one thing. I don't think that it's because they don't think it's safe. I actually don't think that. I think that
if they hadn't lost two space shuttles, they'd be sending them down on that.
Exactly. If they hadn't lost two space shuttles and Boeing isn't being raked over the coal through all the fuck ups they have done the last decade on quality and, you know, design and shit and whatever, they might be coming back on that ship. But
well, the bottom line,
a brand new Boeing CEO that came in. Got on the phone with Bill Nelson. They looked at the risks.
From NASA.
And this guy basically is like, you know what? The first act that I'm going to do as CEO is not bring down, not go kill two astronauts. Screw this. Send the capsule back and bring it back somewhere else. Okay? Even if the chance was less than 1%.
Well, I mean, and this is the fundamental thing. Like the NASA folks explicitly said, look, we have learned over the course of mistakes we have made in the past with Challenger and Columbia, that basically there were, in those two occasions, there were engineers who raised red flags and they were ignored. And then people died.
And here's the thing. you have a solution, okay? You have a choice. You don't have to bear the risk. It may not look good, but you don't have to take the risk. You got another way of bringing them back.
Right. Now, they have to wait till like February or something. You know,
well,
they were supposed to be there 8 days. They're going to be there 8 months. But, you know.
I mean, shit. I mean, I'm sure they're astronauts. I'm sure that from you know, unexpectedly long stay at the ISS, but also at the same time as being astronauts, it's like, well, shit.
I get to stay at the ISS?
ISS for 8 months.
And they will find useful things to do. They will get to, like, participate and, like, get... Yes, I mean, I'm sure they didn't plan to spend this time away from their families, etc., blah, blah, blah. But, you know, better than getting in the capsule and burning up in reentry.
I hope they filed the taxes and shit. They didn't have an extension due or
something. Well, so someone I was interacting with on Mastodon asked about whether they could vote. And so here's what I could find so far.
Shit.
There are mechanisms in place for astronauts to vote from the ISS.
Okay.
However, the standard procedure for that is you have to sign up for it before you leave.
Well, fuck. What? We just stranded these guys in space.
So I was like, I'm sure they'll figure out some way around it. But apparently, like, there's some federal form that you're supposed to fill in. And like, most astronauts are based out of Texas. So Texas, like, a couple decades ago, passed a specific set of laws for how astronauts should vote. And they built specific mechanisms for how the ballots get transmitted to the space station securely and how the results get transmitted back securely and all of this kind of stuff. But they have to fill out some fucking form before they leave. And apparently, I haven't confirmed whether these two astronauts are based in Texas like most are. If they're not based in Texas, it depends on your local laws wherever you are based. But I'm sure they'll work out something for them. They'll figure
probably.
but yeah, so Boeing's really happy about all this. And but yeah, like, look, you're right. I mean, NASA, this is, if NASA had picked anything else, like, it's no way. I mean, maybe they get lucky and everybody, I mean, get lucky. There's probably a 95% chance everything would absolutely be fine.
What I read is even higher than that. It was like higher. Probably closer. It was higher than that. But
it's probably, but 99%.
Yeah, it was probably 99%. But, you know, they were like, man, no, let's not,
Yeah. Why take the chance if you don't have to?
Exactly.
You know, and so, but, you know, didn't I hear this yet another like Boeing quality issue about like the 777s or something? I don't know.
Well, no, not a quality issue. What they discovered was normal during flight testing at a 777X. That they, you know, unfortunately, this is something that is the kind of things they discovered during testing was that certain. Remember what the name of the part is. The support structure related to the engine towards the wing. And I'm not sure if it's the pylon or something, but they discovered that they all had been fracturing. And so they're not sure if it's a fabrication defect, a design defect, or so forth. But they discovered that. And so obviously they're trying to get the 777X certified to begin, deliveries like soon. And the plan has right now been delayed already 4+ years. Right. And so this is a big setback for them that they discovered this on the 777X. It was something that they discovered during
It's better discovering it during testing than after.
It was not during production. It was whatever. This is the flights were testing and they were going through the parts.
Boeing has been having a tough time recently.
A very tough time.
Very tough time. I mean, they got a new CEO, like you said. They'll turn it all around.
Here is what I will say. I was looking at it, going through my rewatching all the seasons of Air Disaster, started with season one. I'm going through like season 14 right now. Let me tell you something. Airbus had a really bad streak for a while, too, of this ship. It had a really bad streak, okay, of stuff. And so. one of the things that I could see that was the most pervasive was, and Boeing had been later to implementing more computerized, you know, less direct control of flights, whereas Airbus used a side stick that transmitted computer commands. The side sticks in the new Airbus aircraft aren't connected one to the other, so you can have like inputs that are differing inputs, and the damn airplane will average them out, which I find is idiotic. It makes no sense. You know, on a Boeing aircraft, you're both pushing forward or back, and the other pilot knows that. And Boeing has been later to add like computerized things to do certain things, like what happened with the 737 MAX. But man, I saw so many accidents lately on Airbus where they had added those features over the last 8 years and it caused a crash on A320s, A330s, the A300. I mean, there was one specifically, I was just reading about the A300 in the 90s. It's one of the first ones fly-by-wire that it was like, the pilots hit the takeoff and go around button. And they set it where the fucking pilot couldn't override it. And so the pilots are pushing forward the goddamn stick on the plane on landing. The plane's nose will not fucking go down. And they just stalled right near the fucking runway. And by the way, oh yeah, there's a software update that didn't put in. And I'm like, oh, for God's sakes. You know, so Boeing had really not done a lot of that kind of stuff to their airplanes until recently. And so I think that they're now, I mean, they've had this issue with that, but also the other problems have been manufacturing problems. And that is an issue which is more specific to Boeing, because they decided over the last decade plus to change the way they made their planes, and it's really caused them a lot of problems. Because they've decided to subcontract substantial pieces to a whole bunch of other manufacturers, and so their entire control of their supply chain is not the same way it was as before. And that's, well, hell, they had to, one of the companies they spun off for this, they had to buy it back. So,
right.
Anyway, so.
Okay, so
basically, I think
I think we're done. You need to go to sleep. You need to catch your plane in the morning. You need to continue your recovery. Okay, I will mention one quick thing on polls. Just on how fast they're coming in since we have been recording the show. Not only since we've been recording the show, since we talked about polls earlier in the show, there have been two new polls, one in Texas and one in Minnesota, that have been released. Okay. So
Minnesota matters, Texas. I mean, or less surprising. Well, Texas.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not surprising. It has Trump ahead by 8. So neither one of these are surprising. They're both in line with roughly where the states are already. So it's not going to change anything big. But there are two new polls just in the last couple hours since we've been talking that, you know, I'll probably put in after we're done. But yeah, because the polls are happening hot and heavy. It's going to get more and more as we get closer, but like it's getting to the point where, you know, it's a substantial time commitment for me now each week to put in these things. And of course, like, you know, I'm occasionally asked, you know, you could just like build something that ties into 538's API and just pulls all their polls automatically. And I do not do that. I manually enter polls because I make a slightly different decisions than 538. I use them as my main source. And then I also check with the Hill Decision Desk poll information, because sometimes Decision Desk has something that 538 rejects for whatever reason. So I look at different places and I determine differently which versions of the polls to include, blah, blah, blah. So I do it manually, but it ends up taking a lot of time. Anyway, we're done. You can all go to curmudgeons-corner.com. It now has the link to our YouTube. It is now on the website. So if you want to see the YouTube versions of this, someone subscribed last week.
Whoa. There you go.
We have a bot. We now have two subscribers to the YouTube channel. There me and somebody else. Like, the what bot. Was there? It's probably a bot. Like they had a name. It actually came up with a name. I forget how to get to it now. So oh well. But yeah, I'm not going to look now. Anyway, yeah, there was a person. Anyway, you can get there. You can watch it. Nobody's been watching live today. Oh well, you missed out. You could see how sick Yvonne looks.
God, Jesus, yes, I look awful.
Yvonne does not look great.
I look a disaster. I look a disaster.
Anyway, we'll let Yvonne go. You on the website, you can also find all the ways to contact us. You can find the archive of our shows, transcripts for recent shows, all of that kind of fun stuff. And of course, a link to our Patreon where you can give us cash money and various levels on the Patreon. We will mention you on the show. We will ring a bell. We will send you a postcard. We will send you, I was going to say a book. We don't send people books. We could send people books. I don't know what book we'd send you, but we could. No, but or a mug, you know.
Send, I mean, I don't know.
A book of transcripts of the show.
There's go, Wilfred. Wow. Oh, Jesus. Yes. There you go.
We will self-publish all the transcripts since I started including transcripts. And self-publish it into a book. We can get both Yvonne and I to sign it and send it to you. There you go.
There you go.
If you want that instead of a mug, just let us know. We'll take care of it.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
I'm sure that will be extremely valuable as a collector's item. Anyway, at $2 a month... Or more? Yes, yes.
No. Go. No, at $2.
I was going to say at $2 a month or more, or if you just contact us in any of the ways on the website and ask, we will invite you to the Curmudgeon Score Slack, where Yvonne and I and a bunch of listeners are chatting and sharing links throughout the week. So, Yvonne, anything to highlight from the Slack?
Bank employees found dead in her cubicle 4 days after last clocking in. A Wells Fargo employee in Arizona was discovered dead in her cubicle last week, 4 days after she was last seen clocking into the office. Security at the Wells Fargo branch, located in the 1100 block of West Washington Street, contacted the Tempe Police Department after 60-year-old Denise Prudhomme was found dead in her cubicle Tuesday, August 20th. Prudhomme had last scanned into work Friday, August 16th at around 7 a.m. and never checked out. Police reported that Prudhomme was found on the third floor of the building in a cubicle that was not in the main hallway. There's no immediate sign of foul play. An anonymous employee told KPNX that co-workers had noticed a foul odor, but assumed it was related to a plumbing issue. Prudhomme's body was eventually discovered by another employee passing by. So, how's all that employee interaction at the office, huh, Sam?
Yeah, that's what I said. Now, of course, like, I made a stupid joke about this in terms of, like, you know, forcing people back into the office for all the interactions, but yet somebody died and was not found for four days! But at the same, I mean, this is an awful story. Like, imagine.
It's an awful story. I mean, I'm really sorry for the person, but also, no, but it's a good point. I'm like, fuck. I mean, these people didn't notice that their coworker is dead for 4 fucking days. I mean, what the hell? Wasn't there a cleaning crew there that night?
Apparently not.
There had to be. There's always
they cleaned around them. I don't know.
They look really focused.
Well, it sounds like they weren't on a main hallway or something. They were off in a corner and they just didn't go. Maybe they even saw like the person there and were like, oh, we don't want to disturb them.
I will say this, and you talk about what a sad human element about this is, poor lady. I guess you didn't have anybody to miss her.
I don't know. Like maybe I imagine if there was a family, maybe they didn't know, like they called and it would take a few days to do that.
Sam, well, what do you mean a few days? If you didn't come back from the office, okay.
I think my wife would notice within a couple hours. Where's Sam? Right. Shouldn't he be home by now?
Exactly. Yeah. Where the fuck are you?
But like, if I lived alone, it might take a while before my mom or my sister or something figured out.
But that was my point. It's like, I mean, the pressing aspect of that I was saying is that the poor lady didn't have anybody that, you know, even noticed she was not answering. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, on that cheery note.
Yay.
Yes, I feel sorry for her and her family, and probably our coworkers are feeling a little guilty too at this point.
Oh, but God, they better be fuckers.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks everybody for joining us for yet another Curmudgeon's Corner, and hopefully we will be back next week, and Yvonne will be feeling a lot better.
Speaking of next week.
Oh, God.
I'm going to be in Vegas.
Okay.
Oh, for God's sake. Well, I don't know what the hell we're going to do, but
okay, we'll figure that out. So maybe we'll have Yvonne, maybe we won't. Ah, who the hell knows? But yeah, and don't do what I did and gamble the entire 75 cents you have to your name and blow your winnings.
The good news is I'm going on the company dime, so therefore I'm not. The company is giving me an award for how much I sold last year, and part of it is a trip to Vegas for the.
Don't gamble your award.
Well, I can't gamble my award. Part of it was in, you know, the type that the companies give, like the earned technology. So I it's not vested yet.
Ah, right. Okay. Well, do you get a little plaque or something at least?
I probably will. Yes. No,
well,
I
don't gamble that.
I'm staying at the Wynn Encore, so they put us in one of those expensive ones there. I'm gonna go to the table. I'm gonna put the plaque down. Okay, all of it on 8.
But if you win, you get more plaques.
I got more plaques. Yes.
There you go. Okay, we're done. We are so done. Bye, everyone. We'll talk to you next week, or at least I will. We'll see. I don't know. Whatever. Something. Bye. Later.
Bye.
Okay, Yvonne, sleep, feel better, get home. I'm hitting stop.